Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of the Concho Sports Show. I'm Shay Harris coming to you from Concho Sports Network headquarters in San Angelo. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Vince Salazar. How you doing, buddy?
Good to be back with you, Shay. Another fantastic week. It's been raining over here in Waco. I know down in San Angelo, y'all been kind of having some crazy weather out there as well.
Yes, sir. It seems like almost every night we've got a severe thunderstorm watch. And I know several days ago, you know, we had a hailstorm that lasted in some places in San Angelo over an hour. I know it went for at least 45 minutes in my house, and I was just looking out the window watching baseball-sized hail rain down. You know, it was like a like we were being firebombed or something, but with hail instead. And it was pretty wild. Probably the longest.
Your car's all right.
Yeah, the longest hailstorm I've seen. I did not have any broken windows in the house or the truck, but there are quite a few decent-sized dings on the truck. But I just feel fortunate that I didn't have any worse damage than that. Anyway, before we get started real quick, I just want to mention that we have our sponsor, Wingstop, on Knickerbocker Road in San Angelo. I want to thank them for sponsoring the show as they do every week. You can order wings from them at 227-6777 on the Wingstop app or at wingstop.com. Also, follow us on social media at Concho Sports on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. Also, we do have Amazon Fire TV and Roku apps. So if you want to watch our content on your TV, just search Concho Sports on either of those devices and you can install the app and watch everything we do there, like this show and our broadcast that we're going to start again for games in the fall. Also, we are available as an audio podcast. So just search on your favorite audio podcast app and we should be there and you can listen there. All right, so now it's time to do a leadoff with Vince. What do you have for us this week, bud?
All righty, man. Not a whole lot going on this week. We did get some good news out of the NBA. There are hopes that by July 8th, they're planning on making a return out to Florida, Orlando, Florida, over at Disney World. Their worldwide of sports area is hoping to possibly host some NBA games out there. I'm not sure how exactly that would all work out, but, you know, still a big positivity when we're looking for more of a global movement towards sports as well. We also heard baseball is planning on making a summer return as well. We'll see how that kind of goes. We're not sure if they will be playing across the country or only certain locations. So definitely some questions with that. Also, we had some local news come out today from the Standard Times over at San Angelo TLCA. We heard that head football coach Brent Ryder resigned for his position there to take a new job position. I'm trying to remember where that was out at exactly.
I think it was the
coordinator now for Yorktown. That's correct. So definitely a big move. You know, we've seen TLCA kind of struggle a little bit over the last couple seasons. So be interesting to see who they try to bring in next to take over the reins over there for the Eagles.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. They've struggled in football lately, so we'll see what happens with them. Also, the other piece of news with local sports is with Brent McCauley retiring as athletic director at SAISD. Of course, they had to find his replacement, and they did that this past week with Rodney Chant, who comes from Fort Bend ISD, where he was in charge there of over 11 5A high schools, 14 middle schools. And he's also the, right now, the president of the Texas High School Athletic Directors Association. So he's a guy who has a lot of experience. I think he was at Pasadena with the same position before that. So he has experience with large school districts. He's well-respected. He's actually a native of Eden, so he's coming back to West Texas. So seems like another really impressive hire from SAISD.
Yeah, great hire. I think he's going to do a lot of great things for both the Bobcats and the Chiefs. And, you know, having that experience, big plus for these two schools. So can't wait to see, you know, what he'll do and bring here to the San Angelo area.
All right, now it's time to go ahead and talk Angry Orange football with our guest today, who's going into his 12th season as head coach of the San Angelo Central Bobcats. During that stretch, he's won 6 district titles, including a stretch of 5 in a row, and is now the winningest coach in Bobcat football history. So let's go ahead and welcome Coach Brent Davis to the show. Thanks for coming on, Coach.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Good to see y'all.
Great to have you, Coach.
All right. So first off, Coach, just how have you and your family been doing through all this coronavirus stuff the last couple of months?
You know, we've done well. San Angelo, I don't think, was hit quite as hard as some of the other places, and thank goodness for that. And, you know, we've done well, just, you know, kind of been chomping at the bit to get back to work. I know it's going to be kind of a, you know, piecemeal kind of way to get back in the beginning, but hopefully we can do it right and come out of this thing and lean towards football season, we hope.
And, of course, Coach, you are the wingest coach in Bobcat history, and you've been here for, you know, a little over 10 years now. And, of course, when you started, you knew you were going to be able to have success here. Of course, you wouldn't take a job if you didn't think you could, but things were kind of down in the dumps with a long losing streak when you got here. So did you envision kind of turning things around that fast? Because it really just took a couple of years, and you've been consistent as a playoff team and district title contender every year. So did you think you would have that kind of consistent success and get things going that quick?
Well, I felt like if we could ever get it off the ground, that it would, you know, sustain itself. You have to work at it every year. You have a different group every year, and things are always, you know, no matter what or who you have coming back, there's always different things, different challenges. So every year is different. But once you can get it off the ground and kind of have some tradition, things can sometimes help you sustain those by the other groups, you know, wanting to continue that. So it was tough in the beginning. That first year was super tough. You know, we didn't win a game till the ninth ball game. We were 0-8 going into our last home game against Lubbock Coronado. You know, our kids were still playing hard. We were still getting a lot out of them, and we ended up winning that game. And felt like we had won state championship after that one win, just to get that monkey off our back. And, you know, that senior class could go out and even though we weren't going to be in the playoffs, they'd have something to hang their hat on. And momentum took over the next week. We won again. We went up to Amarillo and beat Tascosa and went into the offseason with two wins. So that was huge. That was huge momentum, huge for our program, and really carried us into the next year, which we made the playoffs. We were 5-7 that year. Didn't have a great record. Had a really tough non-district because of realignment for that year. And district, we kind of got it going and made the playoffs, won a district game. Won a playoff game, but then we really took off from there. So just, you know, it's funny how things happen sometimes. Just winning those last two games in 09 really kind of set the stage for what's happened in the last decade.
And being the winningest coach, you know, that's kind of a cool thing, because it's hard nowadays, unless you're at maybe a new school, to be the winningest coach, just to be somewhere long enough, because nowadays it seems like the coaching stops are a lot quicker than that, you know, maybe a few years and you move on, that kind of thing. So how special is it to have been able to do that here at a program that's been around for 100 plus years playing football?
Well, it's real special. Man, I love San Angelo. That's why I've been here 11 years. I've got great people here that I work for, and they allow us to do our job. And it's a great place to be. And I've enjoyed my time, and I'm looking forward to more. You know, I'm not by any means looking to retire. I think that's one thing that this time off, this virus is you know, made some of us really think about, you know, what do you want to do in the next 10 years? And I kind of figured that I don't want to retire. You know, that sitting at home didn't work out too well. You get antsy and, you know, you just need something to do. You need something to get up and go and have a purpose for that day. And so I'm fired up and ready for the next 10 and, you know, see where that takes us. But I love being right here at San Angelo.
Yeah, I mean, that's good news. I think everybody watching that's a Bobcat fan is going to be excited to hear about that, because I know people just want to keep things the same, keep things rolling, and are really happy with you and your staff and what everybody's been doing with the program. So, yeah, stick around as long as you want.
I appreciate that. Yeah, well, we've got the program kind of where it needs to be right now, and it's got some really good kids coming. You know, we've had last year our JV was 10-0, and our freshmen were 9-1. Our JV B team was 8-2, and the freshman B was 9-1. So just feel good about what's coming up. And like I said, great place to work, great people to work for, and I couldn't have it any better. So I'm happy.
And speaking of people to work for, you know, you were working with Coach Brent McCauley as the AD, you know, the last, I think, 5 years or so. And, of course, he's retiring now at the end of the year. Just talk about him and what he's done for SAISD Athletics and your relationship working with him.
Oh, it was fantastic. You know, he was our AD for 5 years, five great years. Some of the most success we've had in our athletic program, not just football, but all athletics. You know, Lakeview's on the coming up, and he made some hires out there that really improved things. And he's really made a lot of improvements to our facilities, you know, getting lights on our baseball and softball fields and, you know, our gym floors that needed to be redone and things like that. He's done a tremendous amount for San Angelo, and we're going to miss him, wish him well. No, he's going off into retirement, and, you know, he's going to be missed around here. But we're looking forward to the future also.
Talking about facilities, you know, the San Angelo Stadium turf and track are getting replaced right now. And it looks like the turf is pretty much done, and we've seen photos and things online. So that's looking really nice.
It does look great. You know, and Coach McCauley had a tremendous amount to do with that also. It was needed. You know, the turf was put down, I don't know, several years ago, and they have a life expectancy of 8 to 10 years, and we practice on ours quite a bit too. So, you know, that puts a little bit more wear on it. But I love the new look that we have. It's symmetrical. It's going to, you know, both end zones look the same. Put a little bit more blue on it. I think it really pops, and they're going to have a brand new track. It's going to be a little higher quality track than what we had laid down previous. So it's going to be great for our track and field programs also. And we're excited about the new facility upgrade.
Yeah, very cool. And yeah, you said how the colors kind of pop. My favorite thing actually is, and this is different than any they've ever had there for turf, is that blue that kind of goes around kind of behind the out of bounds line instead of just like a thinner white line. You've got the blue that goes all the way around.
Right.
It really makes a big difference.
Yeah, it really makes it come off some. I think that's a little added thing we put in there. We've seen it a couple of other places. And what it does is it brings that color up to the 25-yard lines on both sides where the coaches' boxes are. And I really like it, too.
And, of course, with McCauley retiring, they just recently hired a new AD, Rodney Chant, who comes from Fort Bend ISD. So talk a little about that. Do you know, have you been able to talk to him yet and get to know him a little bit?
Yeah, we've had some conversations. I'm excited. You know, this district always does a great job of hiring. You know, no matter what the position is, it's a quality hire if this district's going to make it. So I know Coach Chant's going to come in and do a great job here for San Angelo ISD, and looking forward to going to work with him.
Yeah, Coach Vince here. You know, I want to take us back just a little bit here. You know, when did you actually kind of start tracking the pandemic situation, and then when did you really realize that this was going to have a big effect, you know, on the sports world and our whole world entirely?
You know, starting in February is when I really started kind of paying attention to it, kind of when our government started kind of paying attention to it, where you were hearing more about it on the news and things like that. And I never really thought it was going to get to what it got to until we went on spring break. And we were on spring break when all that world, you know, everybody shutting down started to happen. And the day that the NBA decided they were going to stop the NBA, I knew right then we weren't going to go back to school. You don't shut down billion-dollar businesses like that unless there's something extremely serious. And they always, people in those industries like that, and they always know a few days or whatever ahead of everybody else what's about to happen. And when that happened, I knew we weren't going back to school. And then had a good feeling that we weren't going to go, you know, everything was going to have to go virtual. And but before our spring break was over, I had already made a call to Coach Hutchison in Monterey and said, look, I think we're fixing to lose our spring here. So I knew they were going to do spring. We were going to do spring. So we set up another scrimmage with them. Kind of got out ahead of that a little bit, and I'm glad we did. But you could just tell, I mean, you had the vibe. You know, if you were paying attention to things and that was going on worldwide, then you could see that it was coming quick. And that's kind of what tipped me off anyway.
Yeah, absolutely right, Coach. You know, it was the same thing for me. I was watching the Dallas Mavericks game that night. That was the game they finally suspended the season. And at that point, I felt like, yeah, I think our world had changed for everything we knew. Yeah. And you talked, I'm sorry, and you talked about it, Coach. You know, in the spring and pre-spring, that kind of just threw things completely out of whack. You know, what did you have your guys do now, you know, since they haven't had that proper spring atmosphere they're used to having to stay, you know, good and ready for the fall season?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's obviously the padded spring practices are done. We're not going to get them back. What we are going to get is we're going to get an extra week before 2-a-days. Just we'll start like when everyone else does. You know, the smaller classifications that don't do spring training, they always start the first Monday in August. And so we'll start the first Monday in August also. And we'll also get more time with our kids this summer. The UIL is – they've given us guidelines for the month of June right now, the summer. We can work with our kids on a limited basis starting June the 8th on a strength and conditioning, and then you can also work them in sports-specific skill for an hour a day. So we'll start taking advantage of that starting June the 8th. All of our young men will come up, and we'll just start, you know, that's when we're going to start. It'll be voluntary. But we've been off so long that I expect all of ours to be here. We'll work around work schedules or whatever we need to do. But if you're going to be a Bobcat football player in the fall with the situation that we're in worldwide, then if you have any indication of being a player, you'll be at these workouts because, I mean, what have you been doing? So that's how we're going to look at it. And I know with the program that we have and the expectations that our kids have that I don't think it'll even be an issue. So that's what we'll start doing. You know, we'll start working them out on June the 8th. Right now you can't do any 7-on-7 or team or anything where it's offense versus defense. That's not allowed. But you can get a lot of stuff done against air. And so that's what we'll do up. And I think what will happen is if things go well, eventually they'll let us, you know, down the road. Let us start doing a little more offense versus defense, hopefully. And then if that goes well, a little bit more. I'm hoping it'll be a gradual thing that they let us do. But whatever the rules are, we're going to follow them. If we can get everybody in the state of Texas to follow these rules that the UIL guidelines have put out and get this thing rolling back again, kind of gradually work our way into it, and hopefully we won't have issues with spikes and things like that, and then maybe we can have a season. If we're not able to do this the correct way and follow the rules exactly like we need to so that everybody can be equal and not have a spike somewhere, I think we got a good chance to play the season. If not, then that's going to delay things, or it might even cancel things. So we've got to do what they're asking us to do statewide.
Yeah, spot on there, Coach. You actually answered two more of my questions with that one. But, yeah, I believe your guys are going to be more than happy to try to get back and going and get, you know, back into their rhythm. When we look at a typical Friday night football, you know, that's our biggest religion out in West Texas. You know, with this whole pandemic, do you expect to see kind of what we're used to, or what are you expecting, you know, when we look toward fan-wise or band and cheerleading right. And all that? That goes into a Friday night.
Yeah. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, I think the UIL has, well, I know the UIL is, they've got plans for everything. They've got plans where it's normal. They got plans where we just play district games. They got plans where, you know, we might not start till November. I'm sure they've got a scenario for different things. They've already drawn it up. But I think right now we're just going to, you know, act and hope that we start on time. You know, I think if things go through the summer and we don't have any outbreaks, then I do think we'll be in school, and I think if we're in school, we'll play. And if we're in school and playing, I think the band will be there. You know, we may have to spread out a little more than we normally would, say, if we had a Friday night. Instead of sitting shoulder to shoulder, you know, you may have to spread the stadium out some. I don't know. But I'm just a firm believer that, you know, if kids are going to the school building and going to class, then we're going to be as normal as we can. And if kids are not able to do that, then we won't play. I don't think we're going to be playing sports in high school athletics if our children cannot go to the school building. That just doesn't make sense to me. But if they are going to the school building and we are having school, then it also makes sense that we would have the other things that go with school, because if you can go to class and you can, you know, be on a football field or whatever. So I just think it all depends on school. And to me, that's what it should depend on. You know, if we're having normal class, then yes, we can have other normal things. But if we're not going to educate kids normally, then I don't think we need to have the rest of it.
Yeah, Coach. I completely agree with you there, Coach.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree too. You know, if you're not in school, it doesn't make sense that they would let people play sports, especially contact sports.
Right.
But if you are, you know, then that means that it's, you don't have to social distance as much. And I think that we would have fans in the stands, that, you know, yeah, at some level, just maybe spread out. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that all ends up working out.
And hopefully, you know, I just think we've got to use, we're an advanced society here. I mean, we just got to use our own common sense, and people got to be smart and do what's best. And that's what we'll do. I know we will. We've already done that.
Yes, sir. You were talking about all the things, you know, that we haven't been able to do this spring and in the off season. So, you know, what does it mean to lose spring practice and 7-on-7 and things like that? You know, everybody is in the same boat, and we are going to have extra time and an extra scrimmage in the summer like everybody else. But what effect does this have? And do you kind of feel like you're flying blind a little bit with your team and what you're going to have next year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, we love the spring because we get to see our kids that we don't get to see already. You know, the guys that are going to be your sophomores and the guys that are going to be your juniors that were on the JV, those guys right there are the ones that grow so much. And, you know, we've got a really young quarterback and a sophomore kid that we want to look at. You know, we want to see him in under fire, and we didn't get to do that. And now we can't do it until 2-a-days, hopefully. So it just kind of, it delays our knowledge about our football team that we would already have, you know, we would have already been through all of it, and we would know, and we would already have plans for the, you know, for when we start, like who can do what and where. But we'll just have to figure it out faster, and we'll have to figure it out right, you know, as we're doing it, basically. So it'll be all right. We're all in the same boat. It'll just be a different way to do it. And I've done it this way plenty of times when I was the head coach at smaller classifications. So it's nothing new to me. It'll just be something we'll have to deal with and adjust. And I still think we're going to have a chance to be a really good football team. And I'm so excited about being in the Little Southwest Conference again and playing our traditional rivals. And just can't wait to get started. I just hope we get to start and play the season.
Absolutely. What is your message? When this first, you know, kind of started to happen and everything was getting shut down and you knew you weren't going to be able to, like you said, spend that time, you know, with all your kids, what was your message to them at that point? And then also, you know, what is your message for them as far as what, just after all this has happened, what do you want them to take away from this entire experience?
Well, answer to your first question was always just take care of your academics, you know. Don't be an issue. Don't be a problem. Don't cause the teacher any more problems than she's already dealing, or he is already dealing with, in this situation that we're all in, that no one can, you know, it's no one's fault. It's just the way it is. And we all got to help. So, do what you're supposed to do, basically, academically and then athletically, do what we ask you to do. You know, we're sending you a workout each week. Make sure you get it done. They all, you know, the old saying, character is what you do when no one's looking. Well, let's have high character. That's what we expect. So do what's expected of you. And it's, you know, that's the best thing about being part of a team is you're part of something that's way bigger than you. So if you don't do your job, then that's one link that's weaker. So that's what we just try to get across to them. It's bigger than you. It's not just about you. It's about a lot of things besides you. So you do your part, and it all goes together. That's really what we tell them every day, whether we're seeing them in the weight room or they're doing it on their own. So we just kept the same message, you know. It's always our message. But, you know, and then the answer to the second question you had is let's learn from it. You know, let's see what works, what doesn't work, what benefit we can. There's things that happened in the last 3 months that we didn't even know we could do as a society. Yeah. That now is a better way of doing it than we used to do it. So, you know, learn from that. But I do think it's important that we all understand that there's certain things in life that you have to be face to face to get the full effects of. And I think teaching kids is one of those things. I think having a live person that you interact with and they know your emotions and things that you can't get from a Zoom meeting still have to be there. And so to me, that will never go away. But other things that we've learned is that we can learn from this thing. I hope we learn, and next time if it happens or something similar, that we handle it so much better. You know, it's hard to handle things when you don't know what to expect, but maybe after going through this, we've learned a lot to help the next time.
Yes, sir. Well said, Coach. And it is, like you mentioned, it's kind of amazing what our society can do, you know, when push comes to shove and you really need to do something, how quickly we can mobilize and get certain things done.
Yeah, it is amazing. And it's a really good lesson. You know, you try to teach that to, I used to teach history when I taught, and, you know, you try to relate what World War II was to America and what America had to do to survive that and how everybody came together. Well, it's hard for this generation. It's hard for my generation. I didn't live through that either. And it's hard to understand that, you know, what does that really mean? And even though this wasn't a war situation, it was a situation where we kind of had to all come together, you know, and we had to do something as a country together, and everyone had a vested interest. So, you know, that part of it is kind of cool to live through and kind of experience. You know, it's kind of like it was in 9/11, you know, how it kind of just made the whole country come together. You know, those kinds of experiences are good for us to have. I think it brings us closer together as a people.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we have had a ton of surprises this offseason, things that we never could have expected, especially with all of this coronavirus stuff and the pandemic. One thing that wasn't a surprise was realignment. I think everybody expected you guys to go back to 2-6-A, the little Southwest Conference where you belonged, and you already said that you're really excited about that. So, you know, the last 2 years you were in 3-6-A, you know, the Metroplex District with Euless Trinity and Haltom and those schools. So talk about that experience. Was it kind of what you expected it was going to be? And what did you learn from that that can help going forward, kind of being with a different type of team in your district?
Yeah. We're really excited about being back. You know, I've already said that just to be back out playing, you know, our traditional rivals and you know, it's where we belong, and nothing better than playing Permian or Lee or any of them, Midland, Friendship, in our stadium, you know, and you just get a better feel. It's a better crowd. It means more to people out here. We're excited, and we're real excited about all of our sports being together. This is the first time in a long time that all of our sports have been in the same district. You know, sometimes we would have football somewhere else, and then sometimes football and volleyball were one place and everybody else was somewhere else. And then we were all somewhere. So it's just it's a cool thing that we're all together way out west. So the other district taught us that you know, you got to, it's a competitive deal. You know, I think it helped us. I think it helped us understand that we can play against that kind of talent week in, week out. You have to play to, there's nobody over there that was somebody that you could say, hey, we might could get these guys this week without playing our best. There was no one you could feel that way about. And this district is that way also, you know, the one we're in. Playing that talent week in and week out helped us. You know, you got played a little bit faster speed. I think that helped us. You know, when we go over there for the playoffs now, maybe they'll give us a better feel.
And the non-district schedule, you know, looks really challenging with schools like Shoemaker, who you know them well. You've played them the last few years. Vandegrift out of the Austin area, Tascosa. And I was kind of surprised to see Tascosa on the schedule because it seems like they kind of are the ones that threw a wrench in the whole alignment thing the last couple of times. But talk about the district or the non-district schedule. Were you doing that intentionally to make it that tough? And talk also about how tough it is being kind of an isolated team out here. You know, the only other 6A teams at least an hour and a half away, and they're now a district team, so you can't even schedule them in non-district. So how tough is it to find teams that are willing to, do you know, come here and then you know, go there and schedule in, in non-district.
Yeah, the scheduling is, I mean, every year it's that way. You know, anybody that we're the same size as, we're in district with them. So that's why I like having a big district, because it just means less scheduling. So, but all of our non-district games are 3 hours away, because that's the only competition that will play us. You know, some of the 5A's that are a little bit closer than that won't play. And so we have to, and we need to. And I want it to be a tougher non-district. Didn't really want to play Tascosa that far away in the non-district, but they couldn't find any games, and we couldn't either. So we both had that open, so we played. Montwood, I like playing an El Paso team. We haven't played them in a long time, so that's going to be different and fun. And then Vandergriff kind of was a deal where we were going to play Cedar Park, and then Vandergriff and Cedar Ridge are in the same district, and they both needed a game. So we just decided, instead of playing Cedar Park, we would play one, they would play one, and give us all a game. So we did that. And they're all really good football teams down there, so any of them are fine with me. And we hadn't played Vandergriff, and that'll be fun. So just trying to make it, you know, tough enough to get us better and go into district and know where our weaknesses are and things like that. We need to play a tough schedule to be ready for the playoffs too. So we're excited about it, and got some new people or teams that we haven't played much. We have played Shoemaker quite a bit, and then the other ones are kind of new. So we're excited, and hopefully it'll bring some excitement to our home games here at the stadium.
Yeah, and that's one of the cool things. You know, obviously, it's good to get prepared for the playoffs and for the district season, but it's going to create some exciting games for the fans to watch too. And talking real quick about the team next season, I know obviously you may not know as much right now as you normally would, but I remember last year you kind of compared last year's team kind of that 2012 team that went 6-5 and got into the playoffs in the last game of the season against Lee, and then that kind of set up the run of five district championships in a row from 2013 to 2017. So what do you see last year's team kind of that way? And do you think that this is kind of the start of some really good teams coming up for the next several years?
Last year's team did remind me of that, just because we're playing a lot of young kids at some crucial spots. And then, you know, we had a young quarterback on that team. Malachi wasn't young, but he was still just a junior, you know. We had a real young defense on that 12 team, and this defense last year was super young. We had changed coordinators that year, and we changed coordinators this year. So just some things like that kind of reminded me of it. And hopefully we will. You know, I hope it's I hope the next 4 or 5 years are just like that, except for we can get past that third round. That's been our nemesis, you know, and we're doing some things trying to help that part of it. And I know our kids are working hard. You know, I was super pleased with where we were right when all this happened. And every indication to us is that our kids have stayed in shape and done what we've asked them to do. And so hopefully on June the 8th, we'll hit the ground running and be heading towards August the 3rd.
And, you know, looking at the district now in 2-6A, Lee has been really good now for a few years under Clint Hartman since he got hired there. We know what Permian brings. They're always pretty good. And, of course, Abilene and Friendship, they were kind of back on track a little bit last year. How do you see the district as far as, like, how good is it maybe compared to last time we were in it? And who do you see as some of the favorites? And where do the Bobcats kind of fit in and all that?
I think it's a real tough district. Like you said, Lee is really good. Permian beat Lee last year, you know, and so Permian's tough. I mean, those two are always going to be perennial powerhouses. And you got Friendship in there who's kind of got a bounce back. Last year, you know, they made the playoffs. They had a, you know, pretty dang good year. And Abilene's just, you know, they're going to be right there all the time. That's a big rival game for us. I know that Coach Fullman did a good job last year, and that was his first year as a head coach. So I'm sure there'll be a bunch of improvement there. Midland and Odessa High are both going to be good. They're going to be better than last year. They, you know, one team that always plays us tougher than anybody is Odessa High. So we always expect them to, no matter if it's here or there or what, you know, every year we played them, it's been a tight ball game. And, so we're excited, man. We're just fun. We're excited about being back out west and, you know, being a part of what this means. And, you know, you can talk to people from anywhere, you know, other states even, and they've all heard of the Little Southwest Conference. And, you know, they'll bring it up. And, you know, it's just a special thing to be a part of. And it's one of the highlights of my career, really, was to be able to coach in this district and coach against those teams and just be a part of, you know, like you go to Rattler Stadium on a Friday night, you know, you go to Grande on a Friday night, or you come here, you know, and Shotwell, and you can just say Shotwell, everybody knows what you're talking about. You know, you don't even have to say the stadium part of it. It's just the history that goes into all these places. It makes it fun to be a coach, you know, a high school football coach in the state of Texas, and doesn't get any better than coaching out here.
Absolutely. I think everybody is excited, whether it's fans, the team, the media, you know, getting to – for one thing, not have to go to the Metroplex to mess with all that traffic and stuff for everybody, including the media and fans and the bus drivers and everything. And then just to get to go, like you said, it's just a different feel on these stadiums out here. It's got that.
It really is.
You know, it's the same. It's like going back to the 1950s, you know, and all that you know, and all the traditions. And even before that, when it all started with the Little Southwest Conference. So really cool to be back. Do you think that these teams, I just thought about this, are kind of going to be chomping at the bit now to get back at the Bobcats? Because
I do.
You guys beat them several years in a row. I mean, all of them, you know, before you got realigned into 3-6-A. Do you think that they're kind of be excited now to have that chance again to get you guys?
I do think that, you know, I mean, if I was coaching at any of them, I'd be saying the same thing, you know, and, we've got to understand that here, you know, we've got a lot to back up, the last time we were in that district, we won it, and we won it 5 years in a row. We're proud of that, and that'll be something we talk about. That, you know, that those last time we were out west, you know, we won that district, and those teams are going to be gunning for us, and we've got to make sure that we know what that means and be prepared for it. So it'll go both ways, and that's what makes it fun to be a part of. You know, every Friday night you walk out there, it can go your way or it might not. And just because one team's supposed to be better than the other, sometimes it doesn't mean anything. And so it's a blast, man.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to end it, Coach. Really appreciate you coming on today. And hopefully, you know, everything goes smoothly through the summer with every new step that the UIL takes, you know, to allow more stuff. And we get going in the fall, just another regular football season.
I hope so. I'm praying for it. I hope it happens. You know, if not just for football and me and selfish reasons, but, you know, just getting our country back to some kind of normalcy for everybody to go back to work and everybody to be back in their routine would be fantastic. So hopefully that all happens. Sooner the better.
Yeah, I think for the country as a whole, just everybody's mental, like, psyche, having sports back in full force like that is going to make everybody feel better.
Yeah. I think we figured out it's you know, it kind of brings everybody into a common deal, you know, and gives everybody things to talk about. It's just a part of your fabric of life, you know, and you don't realize it sometimes until it's gone. But hopefully we'll get it back. You guys be good, man. Be safe.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
Thank you, Coach.
Right. Thanks, guys.
All right, everybody. That was head coach Brent Davis of the Central Bobcat football team. Another great show, Vince.
Yeah, absolutely right there, Shay. Fantastic having Coach Davis on with us. You know, all the great history he brings to the San Angelo program. It's going to be fun to see his Bobcats back in action. You know, put some great words for us as well, you know, trying to get over this pandemic. But, hey, definitely a moment for all of us to kind of unify. That's a big positive to take out of all the other negative things out there. So great to have him on with us. You know, hopefully we can get him back again here in the future. And, you know, back to episode 8. I mean, man, we're almost to double digits now. 2 more weeks, we'll be episode 10. So, boy, we're growing. And then pretty soon, maybe episode 100. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually, I'm sure. Yeah, it was awesome having Coach on, digging into all this off-season stuff and kind of him giving us some good information on what to expect going forward through the summer and what needs to happen to get going with football in the fall, as everybody wants to. And hopefully we'll have him on again later in the summer to kind of dig in to the upcoming season and the team a little bit more. So, yeah. It was a lot of fun talking to him. All right, everybody. And again, I just want to thank our sponsor, Wingstop, on Knickerbocker Road in San Angelo. Order wings from them, 325-227-6777 for pickup or delivery. Also, wingstop.com and the Wingstop app on your phone. Also, follow us on Concho Sports, at Concho Sports on social media. And we do have Roku and Fire TV apps you can install if you have those. And we are available as an audio podcast, so just search us on your favorite audio podcast app. All right, and as always, I just want to thank you for watching, and we'll see you next week.